Okay, this evening we're going to take a brief look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63, I'm entitling the message from what is found in verse 3. Psalm 63, verse 3. I'm entitling the message, Christ is Better Than Life, taken from the words in verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Christ is better than anything. Christ is the best. He is superior to all things. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the most important thing in a believer's life. He's not the most important thing in a believer's life. He is my life. He's not the important thing. He is my life. He is my salvation. As Paul said, Christ is all and in all. He that hath the Son hath life. So I say that he's not the most important thing. He's everything. Everything in a believer's life. He's my salvation. He's my redemption. He is my pardon from all sin. Christ is all and in all. We read in Colossians chapter 1. Christ is all and in all. Now let's go back to verse 1 and we'll look down through these 11 verses here. I like the way it starts, O God. That's how the whole Bible starts. In the beginning, God. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. O God, thou art my God. I like that. Early will I seek thee. Boy, that's a blessing to seek the Lord in the days of your youth. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Thou art my God. O God, God who is God, for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and weary land. There's no water. There's no life in this weary land because life is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, thou art my God. This is every believer's testimony. Every believer's testimony can harmonize with David. O God, thou art, he's my God. He's my God. The true and living God. The God who is God. We read that God is love. God is light. God is holy. God is good. But think about this. God is God. He's God. Absolute, holy, sovereign. He said, beside me there is no other. God who is God in all things. All things are of God. All things in creation, made all things by the word of his power. All things in providence, everything that comes to pass in time, God Almighty decreed from eternity. And certainly, he is the God of salvation. He's a God of salvation. Look right over at Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God, verse 20, Psalm 68, is a God of salvation. Isn't that good news? Salvation is of the Lord. He that is our God is a God of salvation. And unto God, the Lord, belongeth the issues from death. He's the only one that can deliver us from death. God is God. He's the God of my salvation. Now, if you look across the page at Psalm 62, David said in another psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And here in Psalm 62, verse 6, he only is my rock. Now, I'm emphasizing those two letters, my rock. That little word, he's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. He's all mine. Everything I need is found in God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this statement is made at least 138 times in Scripture. My God, my God. Let me show you one. Turn back to Exodus 15. When they came through the Red Sea on dry ground. Verse 1 of Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God. I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. But he is my God. That's good news, is it not? You remember the confession of the Apostle Thomas in John chapter 20, when the risen Lord appeared to him, he said, my Lord and my God. He's my Savior and he's my God. And then the Apostle Paul, we're going to see this in a few weeks in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where it said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is every believer's testimony. He's my God. He's my Savior. Now, because that's so, by his grace, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. When God makes himself known to us, we do earnestly seek the Lord for all of salvation. I will seek thee early, and my soul thirsteth for thee. Even my flesh longeth for thee in this dry and weary land where there's no water. You see what he's saying here? His whole hope, David's hope and every believer's hope, is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Early will I seek thee. You remember from our study a few weeks back, Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's a miracle of God's grace. By nature, man drinks iniquity like the water. It's only by the grace of God that we desire to drink of him, to thirst after him, to seek him. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. I was reading through the book of Amos recently this week, and I ran into this scripture, and I wrote it down. Seek ye the Lord, and you shall live. Seek ye the Lord, and you shall live. Now, these desires to seek after the true and living God are not in us by nature, are they? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We love by nature, we love darkness, not light. The carnal mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If any man truly seeks the Lord and says in his heart and longs for him, to know him, to love him, to be one with him, is because the Lord first sought him out. It's only by his grace that we seek him and call upon him. I remember reading, this may sound strange to some of you, but when I came here in 1994, that summer I moved here, I remember either the first or second or third day I was sitting at that time downstairs in my study. I was looking at Psalm 27, and I never forget reading this verse. Thou saidest, seek my face. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When he said, seek the Lord, my face, my heart said unto thee, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. My soul longeth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, so my soul thirsteth for thee. In this weary land, there's no life, salvation in this weary land. That's why the Lord said, seek him. Come to me. Come to me, I'll give you life. It reminds me of that verse in Matthew 11, 28. All you who are laboring and heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Now, we seek him, and we thirst for him and long for him. Look at verse 2. To see thy power to see thy power, thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. What do we long to see? Every believer desires to see the power of God. The power of God. Look back across the page at Psalm 62, verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto the Lord, unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou rendest to every man according to his work. Power and mercy. That's sovereign mercy. That's glorious mercy. That's saving mercy. Power and mercy. I long to see thy power. I long to see thy glory. God's power to save us is in the gospel of Christ. We studied this in 1 Corinthians. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. In power. In power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. When the gospel comes to the elect of God, it doesn't come just in word only. It comes in power. Comes in power, the Holy Spirit that quickens us and teaches us. And then we long to see his saving power, his saving mercy in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has power over all flesh to save those people given to him and to see his glory. Where does the glory of God shine? In the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory. You remember what the Lord answered? I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. And I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That's goodness personified is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we, by his grace, because God is our God, we seek him, we thirst after him, we long for him to see his power and to see his glory. As I have seen thee in the sanctuary, in the place where God is worshiped, in the place where the gospel is preached. When the gospel is preached, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we see God and we see the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of God that shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, that is the place where God dwells. The fullness of God dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ because it pleased God to do so. Look at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better. It's better than life. Now, we see a lot of commercials, and the commercial said it doesn't get any better than this. Talking about enjoyments of this creature comforts in this life. Well, my friend, it does get much better than this, thank God. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life. And because it is, my lips shall praise thee. My lips shall honor thee. The loving kindness of our blessed God and Savior is better than life itself. You know why? Because he is life. You remember he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me. We read a moment ago, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Whatever else you have, if you don't have Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, you don't have anything else in this life worth 2 cents. Christ is all and in all. Now, notice this word here, better. Better. Christ is better. You remember the theme of the whole book of Hebrews is the word better. Remember? We studied also the book of Hebrews 2 or 3 times. And we run into this word better. Christ is better than the angels. He has received a more excellent name than they. Christ is a better great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's the eternal priest who didn't bring the blood of bulls and goats, but obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. Christ is better. He's a better sacrifice, is he not? He redeemed us with his precious blood. And he's a surety of a better covenant. The covenant of grace. The God of peace who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ. That great shepherd of the sheep. through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That covenant's a better covenant, isn't it? The covenant of grace. It's an everlasting covenant. Now this word here, loving kindness, the Lord draws us to himself with his loving kindness. You remember Jeremiah 31 says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I'll draw thee to myself. Now this word, loving kindness, is found 127 times in the book of Psalms. Just in the book of Psalms, 127 times. Many times the same word that's rendered loving kindness is rendered mercy. Mercy. Let me show an example of that. Turn back to Psalm 44. Psalm 44, the last verse in Psalm 44, verse 26. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy loving kindness' sake. Mercies. It's the same word. In the original, it's the same word. Loving kindness. It's his mercy toward us. His mercy toward us. I'll show you another example of that. Psalm 57. Psalm 57, verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy, loving kindness. Same word. And his truth. You remember, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion, they do not fail. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Oh, that's good news, is it not? Because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, honor thee, worship thee. Look at verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. While I have any being, while I have any breath, I'll bless thee, I'll praise thee, I'll worship thee, and I'll lift up my hands to honor thee. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. Because Christ is better, because Christ is the Alpha and Omega of our salvation, I will bless thee and honor thee. As turn to Psalm 103, I will bless thee. It means to praise the Lord. But bless thee. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We bless him who has blessed us. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's good news, is it not? I will bless thee and honor thee. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. And you know what I'll do? Psalm 66. Turn over there. Psalm 66, verse 16. Now, I remember this verse, too. First time I heard this verse read publicly, 40 years ago, I'll never forget it. Verse 16, Psalm 66. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Boy, I never forgot that. I'll declare what he hath done for my soul. I'll lift up my hands in his name and declare what he hath done for me. Psalm 57 says he's performed all things for us in our salvation. We lift up our hands to honor him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. He alone is worthy of all honor, worship, and adoration and praise, both now and forever. Thus will I bless thee while I live. While I have any being, I'll worship him and honor him, and I'll lift up my hands in his name. Whatever I'll do it to his glory. Look at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied. We are satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ, are we not? His person, his work. And as I've often said to you, it's great for the believer to be satisfied But that's not the real critical issue. The real critical issue is God satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." In Isaiah 42:21, he said, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable." God is satisfied, but we're satisfied with him as well. Well satisfied with him, as with fatness, as with the marrow, the sweetness, and the fatness. We're satisfied with all the goodness God has given us, the righteousness that God has given us, of his fullness, his fatness. Have we all received grace for grace? Remember, John 1:16, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him. My mouth again shall praise thee with joyful lips." It's not a burden to honor the Lord with your lips, with your heart, your mouth, with joyful lips, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice in him. The believer is abundantly satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we remember him, our thoughts of him are most sweet. Look at verse 6. "When I remember thee upon my bed." Now, I don't know about you. You probably a whole lot like I am. Many times when I go to bed, the last thing I think about and think upon is God's mercy that he's given to me that day. And I often, sometimes I go to sleep. My wife informs me that sometimes I go to sleep real quick, 2 or 3 minutes. I'm gone. I'm snoring. But oftentimes I wake up in the middle of the night. You like that? I wake up 2 or 3 times in the middle of the night. "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches." And when I wake up again in the middle of the night, sometimes it's a struggle to go back to sleep, but one of the things that gives me great comfort is to think upon his word, to think upon his goodness, to cry unto him, "Lord, for help," and to meditate upon him, to muse upon him, to ponder upon him, to think upon him, to think of his goodness, his mercy, his love to us. "When I remember thee upon my bed, my meditate, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice with joyful lips." I do rejoice in the Lord. Remember, that's the key word in the book of Philippians, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We are the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We do rejoice in the shadow of thy wings. The shadow of his wings is his presence. I cast a shadow. You walk outside on a sunny day and you see a shadow. Well, if you're under the shadow of a person, you're pretty close to him, are you not? We are in the shadow of his wings. We're under the shelter, the protection, the glory, the mercy, the provision of his wings. And our thoughts of him are most sweet and satisfying. Most sweet and most satisfying. "Because thou hast been my help," verse 7. "Therefore, in the shadow of his protection, in the shadow of his wings, I will rejoice." God is our help. Our help. A very present help. You remember, turn back to Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Man that's born of woman's few days and full of trouble. "In this world you shall have tribulation. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right soon. He's our help. He's our help. He's our hope. He's our healer. And he's our salvation. He said, I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Therefore, under the safety and security of the Lord's tender care, we do rejoice. We rejoice in his tender care. We can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He feeds me, protects me, guards me. I will rejoice under his loving care. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. I follow hard. My soul followeth hard after thee. And thy right hand, he upholds me. Now, we see two things here in this verse. We see the scriptural truth of God's grace. We see the preservation of the believer. Thy hand upholdeth me. We're kept by the power of God. We see being preserved, the believer is preserved by the hand of the Lord. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None can pluck us out of his hand. We see the Lord's preservation of his people, and then we see the believer's perseverance. Those two things. My soul followeth hard after thee. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they, what do? They follow me. They follow me. You remember that covenant language in Jeremiah 32, 31, 33? I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will, and they shall. We do follow hard after him because we're his people. We're the sheep of his hand. And thy right hand, the right hand of God, not his left hand, his right hand. Not that his left hand has less power than his right hand, but normally speaking, the right hand signifies strength and power. Who is sitting at the right hand of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. I like that verse. Look at verse 9 and 10. But those that seek my soul to destroy it, David had a lot of enemies. His own father-in-law hated him. His own wife despised him. His own son ran him out of town, kicked him off the throne. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. David, submitting his care unto the Lord's good providence, said, the Lord's going to take care of this. They shall fall by the sword of the Lord. They shall be a portion for the wild animals. The foxes are going to take care of them. Their carcass, their dead body. God's not going to preserve them. Now watch this. Although David followed hard after the Lord, seeking the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, being satisfied with the Lord, remembering him, meditating upon him, rejoicing in him, and worshiping him, all those things we've seen in those preceding verses. Yet David had many enemies that sought to destroy him. But he was most confident, not in the strength of David, he was most confident that the Lord would preserve him and take care of his enemies. And I thought about this. Don't be surprised in our day, when you take a public stand for the gospel of God's grace, God's sovereign grace, an uncompromising public stand for the gospel of God's sovereign grace, that those you once thought were your friends will turn on you. and become your enemy. We're going to see in our study in the book of Galatians in the months to come, in Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes from prison, am I therefore, he's writing to believers, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I hope not. The Lord said in his day, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ came upon him with vicious attacks. So the Lord warns us. He says, if they've hated me, they will also hate you. All the prophets of the past were hated and despised. All the apostles, including Paul, died for the gospel. I don't expect to be treated any better by this world. We shouldn't. They hate me, the Lord said, and they'll hate you because they know not God. That's what he said in John 15. They'll do that because they do not know God. They shall fall by the sword, verse 10, the sword of the Lord. The sword of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You remember, turn back to Psalm 45. You remember this verse? This is one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 45, gird thy sword, verse 3, upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and with thy majesty, and then thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth, meekness, righteousness. Thy right hand shall teach thee terrible thing. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. God's going to deal with his enemies. He's going to judge them. God's going to condemn them. We don't need to deal with them. God will take care of it in due time. In due time. But, he says, verse 11, in closing, verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. O God, thou art my God. The king, David was the king, God's anointed. Every believer is made unto our God kings and priests. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood and made us unto our God kings and priests. And we rejoice in our God, don't we? In the God of our salvation. Everyone that sweareth by him or sweareth allegiance to him, confederation with him, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory in him. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. The king shall rejoice in him, and everyone that swears allegiance to him shall glory in him, shall rejoice in him. But the mouth of them that speak lies, they're going to be stopped. God's going to stop them. God's going to stop their mouth. What a difference between the mouth of believers that praise the God, that rejoice in him, and the mouth of liars. The first, those who praise the Lord, that mouth will never be stopped. We'll praise the Lord forever and ever and sing on forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive all honor, glory, power, and blessing both now and forever. The second, those who speak lies shall be made speechless at the bar of God, at the judgment seat of Christ. Let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. See the reference there, Romans 3:19. Let every mouth be stopped. And declare guilty before God. That mouth will be stopped. But those who praise the Lord and rejoice in him, that mouth will never be stopped. Those who rejoice in lies and those who spread lies, their mouth shall be stopped.